looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
So another 3-2.
High fly ball, he jumped all over it. Down the left field line, into the corner. See you later. Xander Bogaerts for the second time this season with a grand slam, 6-4, the Boston Red Sox. Not out of April yet.
So here you go, Xander Bogaerts with another grand slam last night. 6th one of the season for the Red Sox over at Fenway Park. Second one for Bogaerts, and you know, we forget this because he missed all that time. Xander Bogaerts, 2 grand slams in his last 5 games. 2 grand slams in his last 5 games. Murray, this is Bogaerts' 1, 2, 3, 4. It's his 5th full year in the major leagues. Okay, 5th full year in the major leagues. Prior to this season, he had played 623 games. You know how many grand slams he had?
None.
1. He has now hit 2 in 5 games. And the Red Sox hit their 6th of the season. 6th in the month of April. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, let's open up the phones right away, if you would. 617-779-0985. Bogaerts is one of my questions tonight for you, the Red Sox fan. Driving home tonight, and I want to hear from you, because obviously there's a lot going on here in Boston sports. And so those of you that are watching the Red Sox, and let me just tell you, I admit that given all my other responsibilities in the Felger and Maz show, I have not been able to watch every pitch of every game. But I've been keeping up to date on what's going on with the baseball team. So Xander Bogaerts right now is just picked up right where he left off. So here's my question to you on Bogaerts, okay? Do you believe now? In other words, has he already done enough here in the month of April for you to look at it and say, there's no turning back? Bogaerts has figured it out. He has unlocked the one remaining thing in his game that had to be unlocked, which was the power. He is still hitting for average. He is, to me, the way to describe it with Bogaerts is to say he has become a skilled situational hitter. This grand slam that Bogaerts hit last night was a lot like the one he hit earlier in the year. And again, for him, it was only in 5 games ago. But he was on the disabled list in between there for a few weeks. Almost an identical situation. Early in the game, the Red Sox get behind. They rally back a little bit. Bogaerts comes to the plate with a chance to blow the game open. Bases loaded. He gets the count to 3-2, and he sits on a fastball that he can drive. The catcher sets up on the outer half of the plate, and there is video of this, actually. We put it up on the Behind the Seams blog today on 98.5thesportshub.com. So you can take a look at it there. It's all written out and illustrated for you there. 3-2, catcher sets up away. Bogaerts is looking for a fastball, preferably one middle in. He gets it, and he absolutely demolishes the thing down the left field line for a grand slam. That is the definition of situational hitting. Okay, the definition of it. That you look at it and say, at this stage of the game, I'm not looking to shoot a single to right field. The pitcher doesn't want to walk me. He has nowhere to put me. So he's going to come with a fastball, and when he does, I am going to annihilate it. Now, later in the year, I don't know, maybe Bogaerts pops it up. Maybe he misses it completely. Maybe the pitch is actually on the outside corner instead of middle in, and he takes the pitch, and it's called strike three. I have no idea. But I'm telling you that right now, he's acting like a guy who has figured it out. And this Bogaerts, this is the one we all thought the Red Sox were getting when he came up from the minor leagues in the first place. This is the guy. Now, he's playing like an MVP candidate. Do you know of all major leaguers that have had 50 plate appearances so far, Xander Bogaerts ranks 2nd in the majors in OPS. In the majors, a shortstop. You know who's number one?
Trout.
Mookie.
No.
Mookie Betts. So this will give you an idea as to how the Red Sox are producing from a power standpoint here early in the year. So again, I want your opinions on Bogaerts. I want your thoughts on how he's looked here in the early part of the year.
I think it's for real. I mean, before that injury, the first Grand Slam, the one against Tampa on that Saturday game like a month ago, I mean, at 3-2 pitch, I'm used to seeing Bogaerts hit a slap single at best to try to drive in a couple of runs.
Tell the same story you told then. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. It moved. And I don't mean his bat. And that at bat, Maz, was like, okay, I'm in, because I needed something, because it felt like the same old Red Sox prior to that moment. Because Bogaerts hit that thing to Medford, and it was like the same thing last night, too. You know, 3-2 pitch, crushes it over the Green Monster. And, you know, to see the production not drop since he's been back, too, that's encouraging, because with a guy like him and his frame and, you know, how he's been the last couple of seasons, I do somewhat maybe question the mentality of the player. No, he's 100% locked in. I think he's figured it out.
Murray, he's played 3 games. He's 7-for-13. He picked up right where he left off. Yeah. His average is over 400. The OPS is over 11. The stint on the DL did not derail him at all. At all. And that, you're right. You are so right. That is a good sign. So 617-779-0985. I see a lot of you on the line already. We'll get to you right away. Ryan is in Weymouth. Ryan, fire away.
What's going on, boys?
Ryan, I'll tell you what. I'm going to put you on hold, all right, because your connection blows. But I'll go back to you. Don't hang up. John is in Andover. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, guys, what's going on? So nice to have baseball back, isn't it? Hey, so with Bogaerts, Maz, so I agree with both of you. I think he's for real. I think this is the real deal. What I would say is I think situational hitting is probably the wrong term for what you saw last night, right? Picking out the right pitch and hitting a bomb with the bases loaded, that's just good hitting. Situational hitting would be hitting a line drive to right on a hit and run. So,
okay, John, but so I don't want to quibble over the semantics. What I'm saying, though, see, to me, situational hitting encompasses all of it. And this is an area where you by definition, you hit to the situation. So in that spot, Bogaerts' job is to, as Alex Cora would say, hunt a fastball, hunt pitches, and he waited for one to drive. And this is what I'm telling you. I think Bogaerts failed in this area when he was here, well, before this year. I think he failed miserably. The situation doesn't call for a single to right. The situation calls for damage. We got 3 guys on the bases. He's coming in with a fastball. You play in Fenway Park. The situation calls for aggressiveness. Bogaerts was passive. So, yes, look, by the letter of the law, good situational hitting. You know, get a sacrifice fly. I know what you mean. I'm just telling you that I think this also qualifies. It's too often overlooked. When you get into a situation where you've got the pitcher on the ropes, go for the knockout. It's okay. Go for the knockout. Sometimes it's okay to go for the knockout. You don't have to win on points all the time. Mayweather. Thank goodness I'm seeing this from Bogaerts. He's a big guy. He's had the opportunity before to do damage, and now he's doing it.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Every Tuesday during the baseball season at 6:50, the last segment of the show, we're going to do a little trivia session with baseball. We'll give away a weekly prize every week. You will get a $100 gift card for Seasons 52 Wine Bar and Grill, and you'll automatically be entered for an overnight trip to see Boston play in New York in September. Okay? And the trip includes 2 train tickets, game tickets, one-night hotel. Okay, so just a way to say thank you to the listeners. This program has been on the air, geez, I don't even know how many years now, Jimmy. We didn't do the first year, right? And you weren't even here, for crying out loud. But the Baseball Reporters has been a successful show. It's just a way to sort of thank you. And we'll give it a shot. Again, I stole the idea from Christopher Mad Dog Russo, who does a Super Bowl trivia show every year. And personally, I love it. I listen to it on the ride home, and I find, you know, there's audio clues, which we are also going to steal. Hopefully we'll have one of those for you tonight. And I'll explain the rules later in the program as we get to it.
I think we're going to have some guest readers of questions as well going forward.
Yes, I believe we are also going to do that. There will be guest readers of questions. Correct. And we won't tell you who those people will be.
Because we don't know yet.
Are we going to record the questions, Jimmy? We're going to ask them live.
We'll see. It depends on who it is.
Okay, so there you go. In the interim, I want to continue the Bogaerts discussion. And I also want to get to my big picture question on the Red Sox, which we'll do here in 1 second. But first, Ryan in Weymouth. Ryan, are you still there?
Yeah, can you guys hear me better now?
Yes, yeah, go ahead.
All right, perfect. So my thing with Bogarts is, at the start of the season, like going into All-Star break, you know, we all get a big Jim Murray in our pants. But then after All-Star break, we get a little Thugger in our pants. You know what I mean?
So sure.
I want him to continue this road of success he's on, but I've seen it season in and season out, whether it be through injuries or he just cools down. But like last year, I know he hurt his hand in what, like the Tampa game? And after the second half, he was batting like below or like right around 200. Well, in the first half of the year, he was up like where he is now, like 345 or something. So I just want him to continue the consistency and just keep doing what he's doing right now. I don't want him to slow down. But if I was to pick between shortstops, I mean, I'd want Didi all day. I don't know about you guys, but the way he's hitting the ball right now too, I mean, he's their leading power hitter over there in New York. So that's what all I have to say with Didi.
Okay, so Ryan, I'll tell you what, it's an interesting question. We asked that late in the year. Who would you rather have? And I think Gregorius won in a landslide. It's a little more even now. And Gregorius does benefit from that ballpark, although if I remember right, when we looked it up at the end of last year, Gregorius had hit an even number of home runs on the road. I'll double-check it again. That guy's a hell of a player, really. Hell of a player, and easily the best move Brian Cashman has made there, if you ask me. But with regard to Bogarts in the second half, legitimate question. It's legitimate. And what I would tell you is maybe this stint on the DL, maybe it actually helps him in the long run. I mean, the Red Sox are, what, 21-7 now? And Bogarts, I think, has played 12 games? I'll double-check it. He's played 12 games, which means he's missed 16. Last year, he played in 148. He only missed 14 the whole season. The year before, 157. The year before that, 156. Frankly, John Farrell ran him into the ground. Now, it feels like Cora is being a little bit more careful with how he's distributing playing time, and Bogarts is one of the guys that he is going to try to take care of. This is something we discussed with Cora when we interviewed him on this show a couple of weeks ago. So let's watch. I mean, to me, they got to take care of Bogarts. But again, maybe the stint on the DL hurts him. It's early in the year, but boy, he jumped right back and started hammering the ball again. He didn't skip a beat. Ron's in Texas. Go, Ron.
Hey, guys, how we doing?
Good.
So my question is like, I'm not going to get too overly excited about Bogarts. I mean, I understand, like, with his swing and launch angles and all that hoopla and everything like that. Like, he's hitting the ball great. That's fine. But just like your boy Scott said, like, I'll believe it at the – let me see it late August, early September if he's still putting up the power numbers. My next thing, though, is the future of it. So we got Mookie up these – with, like, the David Price contract. Now, I understand there's no salary cap or anything like that, but they're talking, like – you know, normal logistics here. If we're talking $300 million a player, I mean, are we going to spend $1 billion on a total of four players on this roster? And I can't see that happening. So do you try to extend Bogarts now, trying to make a deal? Because Mookie won't take the extension now. But is Bogey in play hoping that he keeps this up because of the fact that his power numbers have dropped off? And do we wait for that? But you know, do we wait for him to explode before we go further with it?
Okay, so Ron, it's a good question. I mean, can you strike while the iron is hot? Is I think ultimately what you're getting at. And what I would tell you is, I don't think you're signing Bogarts now either. Bogarts is represented by Scott Boras. When he hits the market at the end of 2019, he's going to make a fortune, whether you think he is or not. He's going to make a fortune because he's going to be young. And he's going to provide offense at a position that doesn't have many good offensive players. And I shouldn't say many good ones, but you know what I mean. Okay? Where if you can provide any offense and any power, you're going to be worth something. So I'm not worried, though, about the money long-term with the Red Sox and the payroll. Because at the moment, Kimbrel's up at the end of the year. You could be out from under Hanley's money. You'll be out from under Sandoval at the end of next year, too. So that's another 19. Hanley's 22. That's 41. Kimbrel is 13. So that's 55. You're going to save money. Okay, you're going to save money. Before I get back to your calls, and I see Chris in Colorado there as well as Andre in Haverhill, and we do have an open line or two, 617-779-0985. Here's my question to you about the Red Sox. They picked up a game on the Yankees last night. They're now 21-7. 21-7. The Yankees are three back. They were 18-9. They lost 2-1 to the Astros. They're 18-10. How do you feel the Red Sox are playing right now?
Nah.
Meh.
Not great.
So again, they were 3-5 in their last eight going into last night.
They're 1-2 since Bogarts came back.
Okay, so they won the game last night by a 10-6 score, but I wouldn't say that they played well. I mean, it wasn't an impressive win. Bogarts produced. Bogarts hit you the grand slam.
Right, that's the, you know, he broke it open. But that team sucks. Like,
Kansas City blows, Murray. Okay, so again, the competition's really bad at the moment.
I mean, you have to come back to beat Kansas City.
So this is sort of my point, Jimmy. Nunez's defense at second base still sucks. He misplayed another ball last night. I mean, it's like every night there's a misplay with Eduardo Nunez. Devers has been sort of hot and cold a little bit at third base. And the starting pitching, listen to this. Last four starts, okay, because now you're going one trip through the rotation. Sale pitches tonight. The last four games, your starters have gone combined 22 1/3. So 5 1/3 a start, which sounds, it's a little low, but it's not god-awful. 26 hits, 18 runs, 17 earned, 6 homers. You have an ERA of 6.85. How many games are you going to win, no matter how good you are, if your starters have a 6.85 ERA? And again, that's a small sample. It's the last four games. But I would tell you that even Sale didn't pitch great the last time out. So the starting pitching hasn't been good lately. The defense has sucked lately. The base running's really been an issue all year long. Early in the year, I thought they benefited from bad teams, but they were playing better than they are now. And to me, I've always said this. I'm more interested in how they're playing than I am the actual one-loss record. And right now, they're not playing well. That series in Anaheim against the Angels, they were a machine. They were playing great. Right now, not so much. Don't kid yourself. Andre's in Haverhill. Andre, go.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I'm sure you guys, we all know that the offense is going to be great. There's no doubt about it. What really scares me is the back end of the rotation. I know that the first three guys have struggled, but I feel like they'll find their way here and there. But we had Eduardo Buchholz going last night. He gives up 3 in the first inning, walks 2 guys with the bases loaded. We get the grand slam. He gives up 2 right away. And, like, it just really scares me towards the end of the year. You never know what you're going to get. What do you guys think?
Okay, so, Andre, the back end of the rotation is a concern for most teams. I mean, it is. You're not going to find many teams that have good 1-5. The Astros are loaded. And honestly, the Red Sox in the grand scheme of things are pretty good 1-5 in the rotation. So I don't deem that to be an area of need. But if you say you don't have great faith in Pomeranz or Eduardo Rodriguez, no argument for me. I'm a little bit more worried about David Price at the moment because I don't think Price has pitched well since he had the whole thing with his frozen hand against the Orioles. So that to me is a little bit more of a concern. But if you want to tell me that you don't have the utmost confidence in the guys at the end of the rotation, then I get that too. When we come back, I want to get to this, and I'm just going to give you a little snippet of information here from Joel Sherman in the New York Post today. Okay? Sherman wrote, with all the talk about pace of play being the real thing that is a worry for Major League Baseball, there is sort of this ongoing issue of the actual action on the field when it does take place, and whether it's real action at all. So Sherman writes today, the collective batting average of the majors to begin May was 244. Okay? 244 was the overall batting average in Major League Baseball in the month of April. Sherman writes, it is the majors' lowest total since 1972. And the very next season, the American League introduced the designated hitter to elevate offense. So the 244 average in the month of April is the lowest in baseball history in the era of the designated hitter. Sherman continues, walks are the highest they have been since 1996. Hit by pitches have never been higher. And while homers are down from the last couple of years, it is still the eighth highest pace ever. So the point is this. Walk, strikeout, hit by pitch, home run. That is accounting for, at the moment, 35.6% of all at-bats in a game on average in a given night. That number, way too high. There's not enough action in the game.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I didn't even know that they didn't hit Grand Slams last year, and then it was a good lineup. That's one of the things I remember when I talk about those drills Timmy had in spring training, situational hitting. There were a few that it's like hit the ball in the air, avoid the ground balls. You know, you hit into a low play or into easy out. So I guess they're trying to get under it and hit in the air.
Tim Hyer is the hitting coach now, and again, a lot of it has been made of launch angle, that sort of thing. But to me, the real philosophical difference with the Red Sox hitters, and Bogaerts is the poster child for this, okay? But the real philosophical difference is not, well, we're swinging with more of an uppercut or, you know, launch angle. And I know a lot is being made of that. And I'm not telling you that that is a zero factor either. There's no question in certain spots the guys are going to try to hit the ball in the air. The drill that Corey described there really is almost more for man on third, less than two outs, you got to get the ball in the air. So you're trying to hit a sack fly. But what I think the real change has been is that when the Red Sox get into favorable hitting situations, favorable counts, and like last night, bases loaded and 3-2, the pitcher's got to come in. 3-2 is advantage hitter. 2-1, 3-1, 1-0, 2-0, those are all hitters' counts. So what the Red Sox are doing now with men on base is they're looking to drive the ball, turn on pitches, instead of just shooting singles into the opposite field. And again, Bogaerts is the perfect example, the perfect test case for this, because he has the size, as we know, and the strength to turn on fastballs and hit them out of the ballpark, as he has done with both of his grand slams. Both. So is it just luck? Like, do you look at it and say these grand slams, it's luck, it's a fluky thing? Or do you look at it and say, no, there's actually something to it, because they've changed the approach a little bit. So, to me, it's as much the second thing as the first thing. Now, look, you can hit a ball on the absolute screws, hit it off the wall for a double and three runs scored. It's not a grand slam. So, yes, of course, there's some luck involved. But I'll take the three-run double, too. And last year, the Red Sox didn't have enough of them. Chris is in Colorado. Chris, go.
Yeah, real quick, I'm just going to hit on that Sherman piece. Baseball is absolutely about the creature outcomes, strikeouts, walks, and home runs. They talk about that on MLB Network all the time. You know, nobody really cares about singles and doubles anymore. It's just about, you know, those creature outcomes. But, yeah, when it comes to Bogaerts, this is I think it's a completely different guy. You know, we've been saying it for years that he needs to start to turn on the ball instead of just shooting it into right field. You just said it, but last night the Grand Slam came on a full count. You know, he's a lot harder to pitch to, because in the past, if it was a 3-0, 3-1 count, they were just going to, you know, lay one right in there, and he was going to get himself out on it, or, you know, at worst, hit a single. This year is actually driving it, and, I think in the future he could possibly be a 30-home-run guy with the teams of the ball he is.
Okay, so Chris, I'm starting to lose you. Whether Bogaerts gets to 30 or not, honestly, I'm not worried about. I'll take 25. I'll take 20-plus. But to me, he's got that kind of power. Now, look, when you're having home runs leave the ballpark like they did last year, maybe 30 is a more realistic goal. But I do look at it and say, I just want Bogaerts to swing the bat with authority in big situations. And he's now doing that. So it's about time that the Red Sox young guys in particular recognize these spots where they say, if I get a fastball, I'm going to clean up on it. And again, even if you get a fastball, sometimes you might pop it up. Sometimes you might miss it. Who the hell knows? So yes, right now there's a little bit of luck and they're hot. They are absolutely scorching when it comes to these situations with the bases loaded. Again, I told you the major league record for grand slams in a season by one team is 14. The Red Sox have 6 after a month. They are on pace for the mid-30s in terms of grand slams. So it's an astronomical pace that they're on here in the early part of the year. But I do think the approach and the philosophy have made a difference. I don't think there's any question. Mark is in New Hampshire. Go.
I'm with you, Matt. I do think it's the approach. I mean, for a long time, they always said, you know, take the first pitch, wait on it. You always get behind. And when you're in a pitcher's count, you have to be more tentative. But Bogaerts yesterday in that Grand Slam, if you remember, he was down in the count. He did a great job of fighting some tough pitches off.
Agreed.
To get to that hitter's count. And then, so it's not just their full free swinging. They're still being smart. Hey, fight off a good pitch, but when you get to a hitter's count, then yeah, let loose and let go. And I think that is Cora, and I think you're seeing the effect with all the young guys. It's almost liberating, as it were.
Yeah, and so, Mark, I'll tell you, Bogaerts wasn't the only one who was behind the count early in that inning. Two or three of them were. I want to say J.D. Martinez and Moreland both were, and they both got on base. So they were able to hang in there, not chase pitches out of the strike zone, and they were able to get on base for Bogaerts, who then fell behind, even the count, got into a full count, and then looked to do damage. So again, it's about going pitch to pitch. That's really what it is. You go pitch to pitch. You're down 1-2, don't chase off the plate. Once you get to 2-2, now in an even count, now you're still battling a little bit, but the pitcher knows he's only got one more to waste. Once you get 3-2, especially 3-2 rather, especially with the bases loaded, he's got to come in there. And you want to say that Bogaerts hit a mistake last night. The ball was supposed to be away. Yep, he did. And what I would tell you is most home runs are on mistakes. From any player. You got to hit the mistakes. In the playoffs, you're not going to see many mistakes. Pitchers really bear down. But during the regular season, when you get a mistake, don't miss it. The playoffs are a completely different discussion with the Red Sox. We'll get to that later. As I said, we're going to try something new here on the Baseball Reporter, something we haven't done before. I stole it from Chris Mad Dog Musso, who does trivia every year at the Super Bowl. So we're going to try it. We're going to give away a weekly prize. And there will be a season-long prize, too. So the first five callers to the Pride Motor Group contest line. The contest line. 617-931-0985. You call in right now. You'll have the chance to participate in Trivia Tuesdays. If you answer three questions correctly, you will get a $100 gift card for Seasons 52 Wine Bar and Grill, and you will be automatically entered for an overnight trip to see Boston play in New York in September. Includes one-night hotel and train tickets. Okay, we'll do that when we come back.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's Trivia Tuesday on The Baseball
Trivia
Reporter.
Tuesday.
This is where your baseball knowledge can lead to fabulous prizes. And now, here's your host, Tony Mazzarotti.
All right, so here we go. Here's how it's going to work. All the great ideas are stolen, Murray. Remember that. All the great ideas are stolen.
That's the radio business in general.
Though. Yes, yeah, it's a spinoff of what Mad Dog Russo used to do at the Super Bowl. He still does. So here's the deal again. Five callers. Okay, first five callers to the contest line. I already see some of you lined up. You have to answer three questions in a row. You will get a $100 gift card for Seasons 52 Wine Bar and Grill if you get them right. As soon as you get one wrong, you're out. And we're not going to waste any time. And I don't want anybody cheating looking on the internet because they know how you weasels operate. So what we're going to do is we're going to put a clock on you. You get 10 seconds to answer. And if you get it wrong, I'm not giving you the right answer. Okay, so don't shout it out, Jimmy or Murray.
Gotcha.
Okay, because we'll use the question again and people will just have to listen and figure it out. And we're going to change your questions up on you. We're not going to give you easy ones. So there you go. Our first contestant is Brian and Canton. Brian, you ready to go?
Ready, Tony.
Okay, here you go. What is Mookie Betts' real name?
Ah, you got me.
You don't know?
I don't know, Tony. Sorry.
Okay, so Brian, appreciate the call. Again, 617-931-0985. Okay, you got to call the contest line, not the show line, not the caller line. Okay, let's go to Jimmy in Boston. Jimmy, you there?
Yes.
Okay, where is Xander Bogaerts from?
Aruba.
Very good. That's correct. Okay. Second question. And I'm trying to give you guys easy ones because we want you to win. Okay, we want you to win. How many Cy Young Awards did Pedro Martinez win as a member of the Red Sox?
Two.
Two is correct. Very good. He won three overall. One was the Montreal Expos. He won them with the Red Sox in 99 and 2000. Okay? Third question. Xander Bogaerts has two Grand Slams this year. How many did he have in his career prior to this season?
One.
One Yay. Is correct. Good job, yeah. Jimmy. There you go. Oh, no. Is that Donovan? No, that's Jimmy in Boston. Jimmy, stay on the line. Billy or someone back there, take his information. Give him a $100 gift card to Seasons 52 Wine Bar and Grill. Okay? Good job.
You know, I got to update that that correct sound effect for you back there, Jimmy. I know I put that in, but that sounds more like a little tickle than anything else.
Yeah, you got it right. Tickle. Tickle, tickle.
Okay, let's go. Okay, let's go to Brendan in Rhode Island. Okay, Brendan, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, here you go. Name the only 30-30 player in Red Sox history that's 30 steals and 30 homers in the same season.
Ted Williams.
Ted Williams is incorrect. Jimmy?
What are we doing? We have a winner.
No, I know. We're only going to get one winner. Is that the deal?
That's my understanding.
Oh, so okay. So I took one call too many? Are we dropping that guy?
Yeah, get rid of him.
Okay, get rid of Brendan. So I get it. I misunderstood the rules, Jimmy. One winner per week.
Yeah.
Maz got greedy on day one.
I did.
He wants to hear that tickle tickle.
You know what, honestly? I'll tell you the truth. It occurred to me that I wasn't supposed to take that call, but I sort of felt like I'm already knee-deep in it. And if that guy won, I was going to buy the gift card and give it to him.
See, you really are ripping this off from Mad Dog, because every time he does it, something gets screwed up, and then there's like a big controversy. So had you done that and he got it right, we already would have had a mess on our hands.
Okay, so the way I have to clarify to the listeners, because like we're learning on the fly here too, it's a maximum of five callers. As soon as someone gets three questions right, the contest for that week is over. Okay?
Yes,
but
thank
Murray,
you.
Murray, you'll note that I asked the Xander Bogaerts question.
Yeah.
I gave the answer earlier in the show.
Yes, I know.
See, so if people listen to the show, Murray, some of the answers might actually be there in the earlier portions of the program. Or if you read the Behind the Scenes blog on 98.5thesportshub.com today, you'll know that Bogaerts had only one Grand Slam in his career prior to this year. So the answers are out there. We want you to win, people. We're giving you all the help you can get because you need it. Wait till we get to the tough questions. And yes, let me tell you right now, when you screw up and screw up royally, I'm going to laugh at you. The only 30-30 man in Red Sox history, Ted Williams? Okay, he ran a little. 30 steals? Don't answer the question, Pac-Man, because we're going to recycle that question.
So don't answer it.
Send people... Correct, I said don't answer that question.
Okay, don't.
Yeah.
Don't.
Send people scurrying to the internet to do all their Red Sox research. They won't all be Red Sox questions all the way, by the way. Sometimes they'll be baseball questions. But thank you for playing. We'll do it again next week.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.